The Lord be with you. Welcome back from spring break. It is great to have you back. I missed you, so thank you for being here on a Monday morning. Our speaker for this morning is a senior speaker, Mariah McFarland. Mariah is a dance major from Sturgis, South Dakota. Let us pray. O God, open our eyes to see, open our hearts to truly know the depth of your love for us. We may be tempted to approach our faith as an intellectual activity rather than as a relationship with you. Give us the passion to live lives transformed by this faith. Amen.
Revelation 3:14 through 22. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the trusty and faithful and true witness, the origin and beginning and author of God's creation. I know your record of works and what you are doing. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have prospered and grown wealthy. I am in need of nothing. And you do not realize and understand that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore, I counsel you to purchase from me gold refined and tested by fire, that you may be truly wealthy, and white clothes to clothe you and keep the shame of your nudity from being seen, and salve to put on your eyes that you may see. Those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I tell their faults and convict and convince and reprove and chasten them. I discipline and instruct them. So be enthusiastic and in earnest and burning with zeal and repent, changing your mind and your attitude. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and listens to and heeds my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will eat with him, and he will eat with me. He who overcomes is victorious. I will grant him to sit beside me on my throne, as I myself overcame and was victorious, and sat down beside my Father on his throne. He who is able to hear, let him listen to and heed what the Holy Spirit says to the assemblies and the churches. This passage I just read from Revelation frames my talk today, but I want to focus particularly on verse 17, which says, "For you say, I am rich, I have prospered and grown wealthy. I am in need of nothing, and you do not realize and understand that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." In the hymn we just sang, there are some very bold lines that I want to call to your attention. We just sang together about Andrew, who, when he heard Jesus call him away, he literally walked away from his home and his family and his life to be with Jesus. We sang about how Jesus requires us to love him more than any other idol, like wealth or our pleasures or our joys. We just asked Jesus to help us to be obedient to him and to serve him and love him over any other thing. Think about that for a moment. Do you really want that? Do you really want to love Jesus so much that if he asked you to leave your family and the life you've built up, or to give up your possessions, or your job, or your right to get married, that you would do so in an instant? Honestly, that thought scares me. There are things that I don't want to be without, things that I want more than Jesus, and that is insane. It is utterly stupid. This reluctance comes from the part of me that still clings to sin, but I also think it is an apathy that I have learned. I am accustomed to our American Christianity, which is so neatly packaged, bland, and gutless. Where are the people who are all out for Jesus? This Christianity that I know requires minimum participation. Is this really living for Jesus? We love when it's convenient, serve when it benefits us. We half-heartedly give God the parts of us that we can spare, and then only out of obligation. We go to church, to chapel, to Bible study, and play the Christianity game with no intention of actually surrendering our whole selves to Jesus, because that's too risky and too uncomfortable. And it's true that here in the U.S. and at St. Olaf, we are some of the most wealthy and provided for people in the world. We have enough to survive and much more besides. We can get on perfectly well without really knowing Jesus, by either ignoring him completely or by doing the church thing, the Christianity thing, with lots of good outward actions, but we're entirely missing the point. We don't realize that we are wretched, blind, pitiful, and poor because we are missing out on what is actually real. We're caught up in all of the meaningless imitations. It seems like an impossible task to convince the rich that they are poor, to convince all of us who are intelligent, ambitious, and wealthy that our intelligence means nothing, that our big dreams and plans are meaningless, that any wealth or financial stability we can establish is absolutely worthless, because we can live quite happily with all of these things. But I'm telling you, there's more. C.S. Lewis said, "Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by an offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." We are far too easily pleased. We are numbed to the reality of who God is. Otherwise, we would be living as if it were true. What is this reality? The reality is that Jesus loves you. He loves you with a passion that has been burning furiously since the beginning of time and will continue to burn forever. He doesn't reserve only part of his heart for you. He loves you with everything that he is. Jesus is so righteously jealous for you because you are caught up in other idols that are taking your attention away from truly desiring him only. He longs to spend time with you, to let him love you. But we push him away and tell him that his love isn't good enough. We tell him that he is a liar, unfaithful, insufficient to satisfy us, when the reality is that he created us to be satisfied by him only. He is waiting for us to choose him over everything else because he is better than everything else. We were made for him. Whatever prevents you from knowing Jesus intimately, you need to get past it, because otherwise you are wasting your life. If you never encounter God at church, stop going, or go to a different church, or suggest a better way, or make your own church. If you don't know what God's voice sounds like, ask him to speak to you, and stubbornly keep asking until he does, because he will. If you have a problem with the institution of Christianity, don't label yourself as one. God doesn't even care what your denomination or religion is anyway. They're just all human labels. He only cares that you really know him. Ask lots of questions, doubt, and wrestle with God. We need to ask him to prove himself. We need to question and reevaluate what we know over and over so that we never become comfortable with our faith. We must question not God himself, but what humans say about God. That way, we will be open to his voice and responsive so that we can grow with him. We are closer to God in our doubts than in our certainties, because in that place, we recognize that we are nothing and we know nothing, and God is everything. If we never question, we become stagnant and immovable, dead and useless. Let's stop paying our respects to God out of habit or obligation or expectations, because Jesus is the only thing that is worth anything, and we need to know him, what he's like, what he thinks about, what he wants to do, more than we need anything else. Let's stop pretending and let's be authentic before God and before people. I don't know how to live a totally abandoned life to God, but I know that I'm not entirely living that way. So I'm going to continue to question and refuse to be satisfied with the understanding and experience of God that I have right now. It's not good enough. It will never be good enough until I come face to face with Jesus. I pray that God would shake us out of our comfort so that we would not be blinded anymore by the stupid counterfeit imitations of reality, and that we would be able to see him for who he really is. May that revelation totally demolish us.
May Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen.